We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Abner Mares is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Mares, we'll hear from Abner and his family, fellow athletes, and other people who make him the boxer and the man he is. They'll chat about topics like the state of boxing, Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to boxing champ, sports, music, culture, and family life, and much more. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Mares wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays. Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show covering the serious and mocking the ridiculous NFL news of the last week. I'm Blair Andrews. My co-host, as always, is Hassan Rahim. Hassan, how's it going?
Hey, Blair. How's it going with you? This was a tough week. We were scrambling right there down to the wire with COVID-19 still running wild over the league and, last minute reshuffles being done. Thankful that football is still being played. You know, what about yourself?
Yeah, like you said, very tough. Still a lot of uncertainty, I think. I've got Diggs and A.J. Brown in a couple lineups, so hopefully that game still will play. But, busy week, uncertain week, and really excited to get into all of the news today with our guests. Joining us on the show is Sam Wallace. Sam is a featured writer here at RotoViz. He writes a ton of articles for The Blitz. He does the Buy Low Report. You can follow him on Twitter at @swallace_ff. Sam, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Hey, yeah, thanks so much for having me on, guys. It's great to finally get a chance to talk to you both after working with you guys for the last several months here for the better part of, I guess it's been like 8 or 9 months already since I joined the website. But yeah, to echo what Hassan said, just, you know, crazy, crazy week, kind of crazy last 24 hours here heading into week 5 with everything going on. But like you said, I'll echo that same thought of grateful to still have football on TV and just trying to, you know, take it a day at a time like everybody else is doing.
Yeah, for sure. It's tough. I mean, there's a lot of news coming out, you know, more than most since you're on top of all that for the Blitz. I want to talk a bit about the column you do every week, the Buy Low Report. What exactly is your thought process behind, you know, the picks you make there, and how do you go about finding buy lows for that?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to do kind of a recurring piece like that throughout the week where you can kind of build on different thoughts and ideas. But, you know, buy lows are something I think most people try to, you know, hit on. We always like to buy players before we think they hit their peak value and sell them while we think they're, you know, at peak value before they start to decline. But it's fun to kind of look at it within the larger scope of the season. So really, I just open up the Strength of Schedule app over on the website and just kind of start playing with different ranges of weeks from, you know, the next 2 weeks to the next 4 weeks, next 6 weeks, something like that, and look for teams and players and situations that I think are favorable or advantageous moving forward. What I'm really going to start focusing on now, and I kind of hit on that on my last piece last week, was working and navigating around bye weeks. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to maybe buy a player heading into their bye week and you have the space to stash them for a week, you could almost do your league mate a favor in a way, you know, make the trade advantageous for both of you and maybe pick up a player a week before he's actually going to be inserted in your lineup after he struggled. And then you have him for, you know, the last stretch of the season. And it's just trying to stay ahead of it as best as you can. And we know things change, you know, week to week, even day to day now, but it's been fun to try to make some predictions this way and have things work out and some other calls that maybe haven't worked out as well as I would have liked.
Yeah. Always tricky to be recommending, making these recommendations, buy lows, you know, players who become buy lows almost necessarily. It's because they haven't been performing as well as you might like. So, you know, sometimes that persists. So that's always a tricky problem. But definitely check out that piece if you're at RotoViz. You can subscribe and see all of Sam's work there. Let's hop right into the first news item. Miles Sanders rushed 11 times for 80 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Eagles' Week 5 loss to the Steelers. So, Sam, although Sanders' final stat line looks pretty impressive, almost all his yards came on a 74-yard touchdown run. What are your expectations for Sanders for the rest of the season?
Yeah, he was, you know, kind of in a tough spot heading into this week already with the matchup. So it was nice to see him break off that long run. It's nice to know that is definitely within his, you know, reasonable range of outcomes on any given week. Frustrating that he wasn't able to get more going, but, you know, having 2 touchdowns, having that long run is obviously nice. I think the thing that I'm most excited for is, it's really his backfield. It is. I kind of did a piece on Sanders earlier in the offseason and kind of planted my flag and said, I think he's going to be the guy, kind of breaking the trend of Doug Peterson having a running back by committee. You know, Boston Scott played a pretty sizable role through the end of last season, but over the last 3 weeks, I mean, Scott hasn't seen any more than, you know, he had 5 carries, 1 carry, 3 carries. Three carries, 2 carries, and 1 carry the last 3 weeks. And Sanders has seen double digits in all 4 of his starts this year. So just knowing that volume is going to be there, I would still like to see him be a little bit more involved in the passing game, but he's had quite a few targets the last couple of weeks. I'd like to see him do a little bit more with those opportunities, but I can't complain about the usage. So the matchup was tough, you know, kind of got lucky with a long run, but I'm excited for the volume.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, if only because, like, the volume for running back is, like, literally the only thing that matters. I mean, if you're listening to this and you think, like, you know, what's he talking about, just please take a look at Mike Davis. I mean, maybe he's not as, like, efficient as CMC, but realistically, like, how different is this stat line from a CMC stat line, right? Like, 16 carries, 89 yards, like, 9 catches for 60 yards and a TD, right? 10 targets. Like, how is that any different than what, like, you know, CMC would, like, realistically give you, right? Like, if you're multiplying it all by 2, that you probably have, like, rose-tinted lenses when it comes down to CMC. Like, I'm kind of with Sam, right? Like, it doesn't, like, the volume is what's really, really exciting. His schedule, I think, softens up a little bit after this one. The lack of usage in the receiving game, that's a bit concerning, but, you know, nothing too severe. Man, speaking of this receiving game, it's really not great. Ortega Whiteside caught his 1 target for, like, a long 37-yard catch. Greg Ward is now their wide receiver 1, apparently. Ertz still sees a lot of usage. He's going nowhere. And something called Travis Fulgham got 10 of his 13 targets for 152 yards and a score. This is going to be a surprise question, but what is this guy and who is he and where did he come from?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. I kept seeing his name pop up, you know, all afternoon and really wasn't sure.
I'm so glad that you brought up the question, Hassan, because I was going to not even know how to pronounce his name. But I remember thinking he was kind of interesting last year. He's came out of Old Dominion, 4-year prospect. I think he was signed by Detroit, or no? I think no, he was drafted in like the fifth or sixth round by Detroit.
Sixth round, yeah.
Sixth round, okay, yeah. I don't know. I mean, he was someone who, you know, when in Detroit, it didn't look like they had a lot behind Golladay and Marvin Jones last year. So he was someone who I kind of was keeping an eye on to see if he could do anything. He ended up not doing anything. But, it's kind of interesting to see him really, really catch on in Philadelphia. I did not watch this game, so I don't know much beyond the stat line, but, I think this is pretty intriguing, I think. He's definitely someone I'm keeping an eye on.
I mean, as you should, because there's a lot of opportunity to go around in the Eagles' receiving core, but there's no one there to like take it, right? I don't know. I might just chalk this up to like one game variance and move on. But yeah, I guess if you really are thin and wide out, like maybe add him in deep dynasty leagues. Outside of that, I don't know. I don't know how excited I'd be to like snag him in like FFPC or something, you know?
I'm trying to pull up his box score scout. He had a 36% dominator rating his final season at Old Dominion, 1,083 yards. He's kind of old, right? Broke out at age 23, 4.5840. I mean, he's productive. He was productive at Old Dominion. An old, productive, kind of, you know, not very fast guy. 4 or 5.
And as we've seen, sometimes that's all you need. With a lot of the injuries going around, you just need a guy you can throw 10 targets to or something like that and just get him some yardage.
Yeah. I mean, something, you know, production is something that we've been saying, college production that we've been saying for a long time is undervalued at almost every position, but especially for wide receivers. So I think... yeah, that final season dominator rating, I think, makes him pretty interesting. And he's somebody that I would be trying to add to a lot of rosters, especially if I have space, you know, deep rosters. But there are so few of my rosters where I'm in need of a wide receiver. So I don't know, maybe not.
Christian Kirk caught 5 of 7 targets for 78 yards in Arizona's Week 5 win over the Jets. This was Kirk's best game of the season, and hopefully the Cardinals continue to use him, you know, not only on downfield routes, but also in the intermediaries of the field. Sam, do you think Kirk is now a must-start wide receiver going forward, or what do you do? How are you playing Christian Kirk here?
Yeah, I think depending on your team need, he might have to be, you know, a weekly start from now on, depending on where you're sitting, you know, injury-wise, roster-wise, bye weeks, things like that. It's encouraging. We know how fast the Cardinals like to play, just the amount of offensive opportunities there are. Like you said, it was his best game of the year so far, 7 targets, double-digit fantasy points in back-to-back weeks, which is great. Didn't find the end zone this week. But looking over the next 2 weeks, they play Dallas and they play Seattle. And, you know, prior to the Dak injury, I was looking at these next 2 weeks thinking these are going to be some pretty high-scoring affairs and saying, yeah, there's going to be a lot of chances for Kirk to have opportunities there. I think he's borderline must-start depending on where you are at in your league. You know, obviously Isabella had that big game Week 3, scored 2 touchdowns only on 4 targets, but he kind of has that long speed explosion ability on any given week. But I think Kirk is the wide receiver too. It's just a matter of how much opportunity will he get with Hopkins, you know, averaging almost double digit targets every week.
I'm kind of hoping that they just sunset Larry Fitzgerald. Every target to Larry Fitzgerald, just a wasted target.
Yeah, he tied his season high in targets today, which, again, is surprising. I mean, he hasn't done much, really, with any targets at all, like you said. But I agree with you. It would be nice for Kirk to really just have that solidified wide receiver two role to himself every week.
There was a discussion on RotoViz Overtime last week, I think. Pat Fitzmaurice had a question about whether Kirk would... I mean, whether he's been struggling this season because he's been having to play outside a lot while Fitzgerald has been playing in the slot. I guess Kirk played a lot of the slot at Texas Tech. Is that where he went? No, Texas A&M. Am I right? Wait, now I forgot.
Texas A&M.
Yeah, right. In any case, yeah, I'm wondering, I mean, obviously, if Fitzgerald were not getting so many targets, then I guess those slot targets would go to Kirk. I don't know how much of a difference that makes for you guys when you're evaluating wide receivers, but I mean, is there some concern that Kirk and Fitzgerald really have the same role and are not going to be able to coexist that well with Hopkins here?
I think so. I think they kind of cancel each other out with similar roles, and Fitzgerald has just been doing it for so much longer and is just so much more probably consistent over the middle of the field in that area because he's lived there his entire career. But yeah, I would like to see Kirk play more inside. I don't know if that's going to be super realistic, like Hassan said, with, you know, Larry just getting those looks and not being super productive with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing you see from Kirk, I guess, is that they use him deep a bit more than they use Fitz deep. So, especially earlier in the season, I don't know what like his depth of target was today, but you saw them taking some shots downfield with him early in the season. So, I mean, you know, those are potentially high value targets that you would like to see him keep getting, but obviously you can't really be a top fantasy wide receiver with only deep targets, right? So, yeah, it's frustrating for sure.
Yeah, and I think that really sort of speaks to your skill as a wide receiver, right? Like, if you're able to play most of the snaps and across the formation, you're going to just be an elite wide out, right? Like, it doesn't matter, right? Because, like, you know, I mean, think about everyone on Dynasty Twitter who called Justin Jefferson just a slot wide receiver, right? Like, I mean, like, that's just like the lack of value that, like, I think film analysis has is just like, you know, you're willing to shoehorn someone into a role. Like right now, when you're looking at just what Fitzgerald has done, like, over the last few weeks, it's just like, you know, Clingsbury jamming him the football just doesn't make any sense. There's no reason he should have these many targets, right? If they want a deep threat, they drafted one in Andy Isabella, right? Like, I don't know what's going on over there. Like, like maybe Cliff Kingsbury needs to go back and renew his air raid certification. I was looking at like the official air raid certified people from the school of Hal Mewm, and I did not notice Cliff Kingsbury's name on the website. So, you know, maybe he should go pay the $100 and get air raid certified again. I don't know.
Yeah, you might have to. And honestly, like when I was kind of looking at Kirk or thinking of him in his role over the offseason, I was kind of not anticipating Larry to have the size of a role that he does now. And I really thought Kirk could be like the perfect wide receiver two complement. Cause I don't think Kirk, you know, has either the physical attributes or just the size to be, you know, like an elite one on a team. But, you know, I just figured with the pace of play, you know, the second year in the system, I mean, Kirk's played with, you know, multiple head coaches and quarterbacks already in his short career, having the opportunity to just be a wide receiver two in the slot, I thought was going to be a perfect fit for him. And there was just going to be enough volume to go around in that offense. But until Larry goes away, they're going to kind of be, you know, in each other's way, so to speak, at least in the box score.
I want to change gears a little on this team. We saw Chase Edmonds get a touchdown and outscore Kenyon Drake. I think every single week this season, he's been the one getting the targets, getting the receiving work. I mean, I wonder who actually has the more valuable role here between Edmonds and Drake. And, you know, on a weekly basis, I mean, I don't know how many teams have both guys, but Are you comfortable starting Edmonds most weeks?
For me, I think it just came down to, and this probably isn't the best way to look at it because you kind of get into this sunk cost fallacy of where you drafted players. But, I mean, wherever you drafted Drake, you almost feel obligated to start him because you probably drafted him at the 1-2 turn somewhere. And so he's just going to probably keep finding his way into your lineup, maybe out of necessity, depending on, you know, did you start running back early or however you drafted your team? And Edmonds was much, much cheaper later on. So, like I said, that probably shouldn't factor in now that we're 5 weeks into the year and we've seen how these guys play out. But probably that early draft capital is making people say, well, I got to start the guy that's the starter, at least on paper, and the guy that I paid for.
Yeah. Would you be making any offers to try and acquire Edmonds at this point, I guess, in redraft?
Yeah, I think so. I think it might be a little bit tough now because he's had back-to-back weeks of scored touchdowns the last 2 weeks, right, at 15 and 20 points in PPR the last 2 weeks. So it might be tough now, but if he has a couple more down weeks here heading into a week 8 bye, there might be an opportunity for it.
Yeah, right. I'm just thinking, like you said, people kind of anchor to that draft value and might still be viewing him as, you know, Kenyon Drake's backup, which isn't quite the way their roles have played out. So that's kind of interesting. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31. All right, now let's get into our game, Fantasy Rookie Breakout or Fake Out. Hassan, you want to remind us of the rules of this game? How does this work?
Yeah, this one is a fun one. We're just going to throw out some rookies, and we're going to ask Sam whether or not he thinks they're going to finish as a fantasy viable asset by the end of the season. So that means for wide receivers, it'd be wide receiver 3 or better, and so top 36 wide out. And for running backs, that would be running back 2 or better. So that'd be RB24 or better.
All right. Start off with Rams running back Cam Akers, who rushed 9 times for 61 yards in the week 5 win against Washington.
So do I think Cam Akers will finish as a top 24 running back by the end of the season? I don't think he does. He's missed a couple of weeks, obviously, with injury. And Daryl Henderson has been playing exceptionally well for his role, which I think has been great for him. It's been great for fantasy owners who either invested in him or held him after, you know, a little bit of a disappointing year last year. But I still think this team is going to run through Jared Goff. It's going to run through the wide receivers and the tight ends. And I think Akers will continue to kind of be the 1B or just the 2 behind Henderson moving forward. And if he does start to overtake him by the end of the year, I still don't think that'll be enough to vault him into the top 24.
Chase Claypool caught 7 of 11 targets for 110 yards and 3 touchdowns in the Steelers' Week 5 win over the Eagles. He also added a rushing touchdown on 3 carries.
Yeah, I'm gonna say breakout for this one just because I'm writing a piece on him for tomorrow morning for the Blitz, and you could say maybe some of his opportunity came today when Deontay Johnson left pretty early with a back injury, and you know Johnson had missed a little bit of time, or at least had missed quite a bit of practice time. I think Claypool is a raw athlete, but the Steelers seem to have no problem, you know, just feeding him opportunities. I think he's already kind of leapt over James Washington on the depth chart. And while Deontay Johnson has kind of been the target hog the last couple of weeks, it seemed like all those targets then just funneled to Claypool. And will that change moving forward? I'm not sure. but I don't think you can necessarily just ignore what Claypool was able to do through the air and on the ground, surprisingly. They got plenty of wide receiver, you know, potential there between Juju and Deontay and Washington and Claypool. But yeah, Claypool kind of has like that DK Metcalf way about him on the field, just bullying people downfield. So yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah, Claypool is really interesting, I guess, not only because of this performance, but also this isn't like a one-off thing. Like in past weeks, he's been doing, you know, not with this amount of opportunity, but all he does is score long touchdowns. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Definitely I'm buying, but yeah. Antonio Gibson rushed 11 times for 27 yards in Washington's Week 5 loss to the Rams, adding 5 receptions for 24 yards.
This one I'll buy. I'll buy this as a breakup that he finishes within the top 24 by the end of the year, simply because I think he's the most talented back in that backfield by far. And you can talk about the lack of college production or college usage, however many total touches he had wasn't a lot. That was a big topic of discussion. But he's seen his role increase, you know, every week. He scored in 3 straight weeks, weeks 2, 3, and 4. He scored one on the ground, seeing some nice involvement in the passing game. And this offense doesn't really have much right now besides Terry McLaurin and the quarterback carousel that we're seeing now. I mean, they only really have 2 playmakers, and that's Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin. And anybody else beyond that is kind of just an ancillary piece that you probably don't own in any fantasy league anywhere anyways. So I just think even just the volume enough, like we talked about before with Miles Sanders, it's going to be there.
Henry Ruggs got 2 of 3 targets for 118 yards and a touchdown in the Raiders' Week 5 win over the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this one as a fake out. He's another guy I'm writing about for tomorrow. It's been fun to focus on a lot of the rookie wide receivers because there's been so many that have at least had some splash games early in the season. Again, missed a couple of weeks. I just don't think he's going to see the necessary target volume to jump into the top 36. He's going to be kind of just that field stretcher. We can see that he can score in, you know, pretty much any play, but there are just so many other options there, both in the backfield from a pass catching perspective and in the wide receiver tight end core, that Carr is just going to keep spreading it around. And Ruggs is probably going to be more beneficial on the field from a football perspective to open things up. And he'll get his and he'll play well, but unless he really starts seeing a jump in target share, I think that's going to cap him from being in that top 36.
James Robinson had 13 carries for 48 yards and caught 5 of 7 targets for 22 yards week 5 against Houston.
Yeah, definitely buying. Down week for him, which was a bummer, but he seems like the real deal, and there's nobody else in that backfield that's getting touches. Chris Thompson's getting a little bit, but in terms of the volume, like we keep going back to, running backs that get volume, it's going to be there. This is the first game this year that he didn't score double-digit fantasy points. He hasn't found the end zone in back-to-back weeks, but again, he's getting the volume both on the ground and through the air, and he's a top 10 running back already, and I don't see that changing.
Joe Burrow completed 19 of 30 passes for 183 yards, 0 touchdowns, and an interception in the Bengals' 27-3 Week 5 loss to the Ravens. He also lost a fumble.
So am I having to buy as a top 12? What were the parameters for quarterbacks?
They would be top 12 just because we use the single QB here.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm going to sell. He's on the outside looking in of the quarterback window right now, and selling might be a little bit unfair. The thing working in his favor is the volume. The Bengals have been one of the most pass-heavy teams in the league. He hasn't had a single game where he's passed less than 30 times. I do think that starts to balance out a little bit more. I think they will get Mixon a little bit more involved. He has been a little bit more the last couple of weeks, finally, especially last week when he really popped. Burrow's going to be kind of on that fringe of either being a streamer or a back-end QB1 probably most weeks, but I'll take the chance and say that he does not finish inside the top 12 this season, but it's going to be close. And if he finishes, you know, as at 11 or 12, that wouldn't surprise me.
J.K. Dobbins rushed 1 time for 34 yards in the Ravens' Week 5 win over the Bengals, adding 3 receptions for 21 additional yards.
Yeah, going to sell this one too as a fake out. And until the Ravens really commit to him, both, you know, either on the ground or through the air, it's going to be tough. He's going to have to be either hyper efficient at scoring touchdowns with his opportunities like Mark Ingram was last year, but they've been giving Gus Edwards quite a bit of run. They're still running Ingram close to the goal line. Nice to see the three targets today, but he's had three games this year with either one or two rushing attempts, and that's been it. So that's, he's going to need a lot more than that to break into the top 24.
Brandon Ayuk got 3 of 6 targets for 44 yards in the 49ers' Week 5 loss to the Dolphins.
Going to sell this one too. I think Ayuk's a perfect fit for that scheme. His draft position kind of surprised some people, I think, a little bit, but he's almost like a Deebo Samuel clone in his yards after the catch ability and just how he fits into that offense. But his big game the last couple of weeks came without Deebo, came without George Kittle, came without Tevin Coleman, came without Raheem Mostert. I mean, so he's been capitalizing on that opportunity, which has been great. But as the team gets a little bit more healthy, especially in the running back room and getting Samuel a little bit more up to speed, I just don't think the volume is going to be there because they're still a pretty run-centric team. So he'll have to be super efficient again in the scoring department to put himself into that top 36, in my opinion.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushed 10 times for 40 yards in the Chiefs' Week 5 loss to the Raiders.
Yeah, I'll buy that he finishes in the top 24. I think he'll still have some up-and-down games. The Chiefs as a whole just didn't look good today. He still averaged 4 yards a carry, saw 8 targets, which was great. Didn't do much with them with only 3 receptions for 40 yards. But I think the offense is just going to be too good the rest of the year. I don't really see this bad game of the Chiefs being a sign of things to come. They got a couple, you know, tougher defensive matchups on the road at Buffalo and at Denver the next 2 weeks, but I think the scoring opportunities and just his overall involvement, he's seen double-digit carries in every game this year. He's seen at least 6 targets in 3 of 5 games this year. The opportunity's there.
Yeah, it sounds like you're not reading too much into this game. I mean, it was, you know, it's funny. The Chiefs, like, shut down the Ravens on Monday night and then give up 40 points to the Raiders. You know, I don't know. Anything can happen in the NFL, but this doesn't worry you for any pieces of the offense going forward?
Not really, because they still scored 32 points. I mean, if they had just gotten totally shut down, I think that would have told me something else. But, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't give up 40 points to the Raiders. So, I mean, they still hung 32 points in a loss, which not many teams can do unless, you know, you're Dallas or, you know, somebody like that. But off day for the defense, didn't look great. I do think they'll turn it around, but yeah, not too worried after one game. If it becomes a trend, then for sure, but for now, not really.
All right, moving on to news item number 3. And speaking of Dallas, Dak Prescott was carted off the field with a right ankle injury in the third quarter. He will undergo ankle surgery tonight. So obviously a huge loss for Dallas, and we hope that Dak can, you know, make a full recovery and return relatively quickly. He was actually the QB1 heading into this week, according to the RotoViz Weekly Stat Explorer. So how do you think this offense will function without him? And do you think Andy Dalton can give, like, a fraction of what Dak was giving them?
I think Dalton's an above-average quarterback. I really do. I think his time in Cincinnati probably came to an end at about the right time, but I don't think it was necessarily always on him. Just kind of looking back at some of his career stats, he's always really been kind of a middling QB2 with upside, outside of that one magical year where he was the QB4, threw 33 touchdowns, rushed for a couple, but he's a competent NFL quarterback. I really do believe that. And I think he has a very good offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. I think he's got, you know, incredible weapons around him. They may lean on the ground game even more to try to take some of the pressure off of Dalton. But it's going to be tough because a lot of that won't matter if the defense can't step up and really start getting off the field and, you know, at least giving the offense more opportunities and not putting them in situations where they have to score 30 or 40 points every week to win. And honestly, the state of the NFC East right now, Dallas is still in it. I mean, they really are. They won today, which was great for them. In terms of fantasy moving forward, definitely a hit to the offensive weapons there. It's going to be interesting, I think, to see kind of where Dalton zeroes in on as his go-to targets. If he really leans on Amari Cooper, if he kind of leans on the backfield a little bit more, I think his first game back, just his usage is going to be very telling as to where he's looking to go and what he can do here in the next week of practice.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of bummed because, I mean, with Dak under center, like, this offense really had kind of clicked. It really hit, like, I don't know, a new high. So I'm also a huge Dak fan. It's just a real shame that he got hurt. You know, so we're hoping that he has a speedy recovery. Man, so he's like the guy who we didn't talk about in the previous section was CeeDee Lamb, who really has emerged as like just incredible, right? Like he's what a G. My question is, what are you guys slotting in? Like, if you guys had a like where would you put Lamb in, like, in dynasty ranks today?
I'll let Blair answer that one first.
Yeah, I probably need to update my dynasty rankings. Come to think of it, I mean, gosh, I probably would have Lamb as, I might have him in the top 12 wide receivers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was gonna hedge and say top 18, but I've seen him in the top 12 of many people's dynasty rankings right now already.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask, why not, like, top 8, top 6? Because, like, it feels like...
Yeah, I'm trying to think who I would probably have above him. Like, would you have him above... I don't know, after the season he's having, I don't think I would put him above Calvin Ridley. You know, more, maybe you drop him down a little bit just because he hasn't been... playing up to expectation. I still think I would have more above Lamb, but maybe that's close. I don't know.
No, that's close. The better question is, where would you rank AJ Brown and where would you rank Lamb?
That is a great question.
I mean, it's so hard to tell since we haven't seen much Brown this season. I mean, yeah, based on the rookie season that Brown put up, you, I think, would still have to have him in consideration around, you know, definitely within the top 12, around kind of those guys, Ridley and Moore. Maybe not quite that high, but.
For what it's worth, for sake of conversation, I pulled up just the current RotoViz Dynasty composite rankings, and Lamb is slotted in at wide receiver 21 right now.
Oh my gosh, my rankings must be too old to be counted in there. I hope.
Yeah, that's true. That's kind of low, right? Like you'd have him at least wide receiver 10.
Yeah, I would think so. And I'm just kind of perusing the ranks here. It doesn't say last updated, I don't think. But yeah, it was more just curious to see.
Yeah, I know that if any rankings that are more than 2 weeks old, it's only Dave's rankings that are in here, so everyone needs to update. If any rankings that are older than 2 weeks old get thrown out, or not really thrown out, but they don't show on the site.
Yep.
Dave, right, so here's one.
Update your CeeDee Lamb ranking.
So here's a question: DK Metcalf or CeeDee Lamb?
Metcalf.
Ooh. I'd have Lamb. I think
I'd have Lamb.
I'd have
too.
Lamb above Metcalf.
All right.
That's close, though.
It is. It's close, right? I enjoy these thought experiments, right, where we're throwing out these names.
For sure.
And that's gut reaction. I mean, if I took a closer look, maybe, but maybe I'm still just too hurt by Dak.
Yeah, that was a real bummer, man. It was just sad. I was really upset for the guy. Especially because such Lamb a likable above, guy.
Would you have Lamb above Amari Cooper?
I think so. In Dynasty, I think you'd have
I
to.
I think so. And that feels weird to say too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I think you have to. I mean, so like, and like the other question is, what are you doing with Michael Gallup, right? Like, how far down is he sliding?
I'm so sad because I'm such a big Michael Gallup fan. I love him so much.
But it's just such a weird thing, right? Like when this is, it kind of goes back to AJ Brown in Tennessee, where you know, it's not like Corey Davis is like terrible. He's just not AJ Brown, right?
Same
like Michael Gallup. Isn't like Michael Gallup's bad? He's just not CeeDee Lamb. Like, what do you do? What do you do when you're facing, like, when, like, you know, you just, are competing with these, like, some of the best wide receiver prospects we've seen in a while. And, like, you know, it's difficult. I mean, like, think about Adam Thielen having to face off. Like, Justin Jefferson has, like, completely transformed that passing offense, right? Like, it's ridiculous.
Well, and the fact that their defense can't stop anyone, but yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You kind of wonder about Gallup whether he would be able to have the same kind of season he had last year if he didn't have an Amari Cooper on the field, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely. I mean, going into this season, I think I was right there with you, Sam. It was like Gallup could have a better 2020 than Cooper.
Right.
Know, just based on what they did in 2019. And
their per game paces were so close from a target, you know, in just exactly. usage perspective last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tricky. I mean, I don't know. There was always a concern that with Lamb coming in, there weren't going to be enough targets to go around. And it really looks like Lamb has just overtaken that wide receiver two role for sure. And I don't know, maybe a matter of time before Cooper is the wide receiver too.
Yeah.
And I'm normally not one to cherry pick stats, because I think you just have to take a look at everything. But would we be looking at Gallup this year, or would we have been looking at Gallup this year any differently without his week 17 last year, where he scored 32 fantasy points and scored 3 touchdowns, which were half of his season total?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I've been fairly bearish on Gallup, if only because he had all the chances in the world to kind of, like, unfortunately do this. And, like, so being saying that I'm very bearish on him, that's kind of like a misnomer, because I'm like, by the end of it, I was like, really, like, by the end of this draft season, I was buying in. But when it was just Gallup without Amari, he wasn't particularly good. He was fairly inefficient, very Corey Davis-esque, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when Amari came around, he really kind of like exploded, right? Like, and, now you're looking at, gosh, I don't know. I mean, like, it's just a shame. And, like, realistically, this goes back to Dak being out, right? Like, I mean, the guy was just the perfect driver you wanted. I feel so bad that we're not going to see him anymore this season.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, Dalton, like you said, Sam, has put up a few big seasons, and he's had a few big games where he's been given some volume. He had a really good week 16 last year, as I recall, because he was on one of my title winning teams, and I had to start him.
You won a title with Dalton last year?
Yeah, that's right. We're in a league. Hassan and I are both in this league with a lot of former RotoViz writers and some current ones. And I think Devin McIntyre was the other guy, was the runner-up, and he was playing Lamar Jackson, and I had Dalton, man. And ended up winning. So that was nice.
Yeah. And who's beating who today?
That's no, right. I don't know. Are we? Oh, it was a matchup, a rematch today? He must be kicking my butt. I'm so bad in that league this year.
You versus me.
Oh, okay.
That's right, folks.
Ah, you said something. That was the only league you're winning. I didn't even realize you were. Yeah. It was our matchup.
Yeah, it's just like I'm getting completely annihilated, like everywhere else. Oh my god! All that matters is, I don't even know if this matters. Like in all honesty, I was kind of. I'm actually doing kind of okay in this league, I believe. But no one cares about my fantasy teams. But you know what they do care about? Deshaun Watson, who completed 25 of 35 passes for 359 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also threw 2 picks. And the Texans' week 5 win over Jacksonville. This was Watson's second straight week where he topped 300 yards passing. Sam, now that Watson is officially liberated from Bill O'Brien, like, how do you think this offense improves going forward?
I would be really interested to know, like, exactly what conversations went on in the locker room. You know, there was some word that came out with J.J. Watt, you know, being involved and things like that. But I try not to speculate too much about, you know, what goes on in the locker room from a team culture perspective, just because we look at it so kind of biasly from the fantasy lens, and we project so much. But I got to think that it's better. I mean, I really do. I can't imagine there's any world in which Deshaun Watson is okay with how the DeAndre Hopkins situation was handled and, you know, what he was left with from a receiver perspective. So I can't imagine that left him super happy, even understanding, you know, the business nature of the NFL. And guys know that, but just how poorly mismanaged that was. I think it's great. I think Deshaun Watson is just a gamer. He's a baller. That's just what he does. Even back to his time in college, he just finds ways to win, or at least finds ways to produce for fantasy. Even if that comes in garbage time, that's fine. But I think a lot of Deshaun Watson's success or potential success for the rest of this season is unfortunately probably hinged on the hamstrings of Will Fuller, whether we like it or not. So, I mean, if Fuller can stay healthy, we all know Fuller's upside. You can, you know, kind of piecemeal together, you know, his last 16 healthy games, you know, heading into this season, and it puts him right up there with, you know, a lot of successful fantasy production of wide receivers in the league. It was nice to see Brandon Cooks bounce back today, but I don't know. I'm just so hesitant because I'm in one dynasty league, 10 team dynasty league, and it's a home league. So whenever, you know, people talk about home leagues, there's always kind of that caveat of, you know, what's the quality of your opponent, so to speak. But, and it's a one quarterback dynasty league where I own both Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. So I'm always kind of bouncing back and forth which guy to start. And for a while, it's been like, okay, I'm starting Lamar Jackson every week just because it's Lamar Jackson. But the last couple of weeks, I really should have been starting Deshaun Watson. And now I'm kind of questioning that moving forward.
Yeah, that's tricky. I mean, like you said, he gets it done even with these, you know, Will Fuller sometimes hurt and Brandon Cooks, who we all probably think is washed, but, you know, I don't know. Are you buying this Brandon Cooks performance? Do you think he can be like a real asset for the team going forward now?
I mean, I think so, if he stays healthy, because, you know, all Brandon Cooks has done is produce 1,000-yard seasons wherever he's gone, minus last season's kind of shortened season with concussions. And he still only missed two games. So I think that was a little bit of an unfair. And his usage with the Rams last year was just kind of confusing as well. But, you know, four straight 1,000-yard seasons with three different teams, still only 27 years old. And we kind of saw his ceiling again today. And we've unfortunately seen his floor this year as well. But with him really being the wide receiver two to Will Fuller, or maybe even the one on a given week, I don't know who else Watson's going to throw to. He does kind of uniquely involve his tight ends. Occasionally we saw that today with Fells having a long touchdown, but I'm not going to trust the consistency. I don't think I could ever bring myself to start Brandon Cooks. I'd rather start Will Fuller just because of his longevity there in Houston with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, Fuller did pretty well today, too. I mean, he didn't go off like Cooks did. He scored, I have to pull up the box score here. There are a bunch of games that I just didn't care about. There we go. He had like eight targets. He caught four of those 58 yards in a score. I mean, like, Cooks really lit it up, right? Like, he's... Now, the issue with, like, Cooks lighting it up is that we've seen this before, and we've just seen long stretches of him doing nothing. Right, like this is a very Friedrich victory. Like this is a, I mean, like we saw him do this in like week two, and then like, you know, he's gonna disappear again for a little bit. I mean, last week he was just terrible, like god awful against the Vikings' hapless secondary or whatever they call the secondary, right? So it's just very tough to do there.
And believe it or not, we've been getting like more consistency, which is something I never thought I'd use with Will Fuller. I mean, out of him, you know, at least five targets and four receptions in three straight games. He scored 3 weeks in a row. So that's encouraging. And they have a decent stretch of games coming up. But yeah, for Watson, honestly, he's kind of even shown that it doesn't matter who's on the field. Like he'll put up points the last 10 minutes of the game and make you at least mildly happy. I would like to see a little bit more from him out of the rushing. It's kind of been a nice floor that he's been able to provide fantasy owners. And he hasn't topped 27 rushing yards in a game yet this season, which I would like to see a little bit more out of. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
All right. That'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz Radio channel on Apple Podcasts. Special thanks to our guest, Sam Wallace. For Hassan Rahim on Twitter at HRR5010, I'm Blair Andrews at Am I the Real Blair. Thanks for listening.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.